Direct from WGBB, 1240 AM on your dial. It's time for
Listen Up, Jesus is on the Air.
Welcome
back from Untalk. Oh, thank you, John. Welcome back from upstate where you are.
Blows as a gentle breeze.
Now we're going to give you just a quick tip.
And it fills our soul with gladness.
Our show.
And we have some show on tap today.
You know, it really is a special show. We've been praying for Liz for months since we began.
January 8th, to be exact.
Liz Castellano, Chiari disease. Her family, friends, all gathered together today to share the impact that a problem such as a serious illness such as she has can have in a family and how it draws people closer to God. Those of you who are turned away from the church, if you get hit with a problem, we're willing to bet you'll turn back. It's just the way it is. Right, Tony?
And John, her faith is so strong, so apparent, it just bubbles out and touches everyone that she comes across.
So we tell the listeners, hang in there, folks, and listen to this woman's story. And we have a lovely song just to kind of set the stage. It's called Breath of Heaven. And that's how the Holy Spirit touches everyone who's faced with a problem.
Moonless nights, cold and weary, with
You know what I would like you to do? First of all, people do not know what Chiari disease is. Can you tell us a bit about it?
It's actually called Arnold-Chiari malformation. It's a genetic brain disorder. In simple terms, your skull is actually too small for your brain. So the brain of course, has no room, and it eventually starts to protrude through the spinal cord. Spinal, whatever it's called.
And then what happens?
Then what happens can cause many, many different symptoms. It can, you know, I know babies, you know, born can have it. It's, of course, it's like any disorder. It's all different degrees. I had my first brain surgery in 2002. It took about 10 years to diagnose me, which supposedly is the average time, because it has so many different symptoms, and a neurosurgeon diagnosed me right away. So it was very interesting seeing those MRIs. And then I just had my second operation March 2nd of this year, 2011, and it's called cranial cervical fusion, which is my doctor, and thank God he's only 15 minutes from my door, because patients come from around the world to see him. He's done the most surgeries, Dr. Bolognese. He actually went in, it was an 8-hour surgery to lift up my skull because my skull was sinking into my neck, cervical instability it's called, which has caused me...
You only have cervical instability? I thought you had other kinds.
I know, can you believe it?
So what happened since the surgery?
Oh boy, I tell you, I knew I was going to be a candidate for this surgery. You have to be very bad to have this surgery. It's a very, very severe surgery. As my neurosurgeon's intern told me, who walked into the room that night, told me that this is probably one of the toughest surgeries anybody can have. And I'm just so thankful for technology today. And I have to tell you, my faith in God is my higher power, has just so much more depth now. I realized this years ago. Here's a girl who went through, you know, Catholic elementary school and, you know, on from there. And I tell you, when things really start to happen to you, you know, you have your parents, hopefully you have your siblings, hopefully, and friends. But let me tell you, when things really start to go, the only one you really have is your faith in the Lord. And I shared with John many times that I do share this with people now, that there's three words that come to mind with me, especially now that I've gone through the surgery. If you don't have some type of faith in your life, if you don't have love in your life, that could be love, not just spouse or boyfriend or girlfriend. It could be love of yourself, love of an animal, but just love in general. And humor. Humor is a big part of it, because if you don't have humor, all of those three things, I look at it like you really just don't have much.
I enjoyed the day that, you people don't know this, but Liz was sitting in my office and she was having a bad time. And she
Which time was that?
Well, one of them. And she was bawling like a baby. So I said, oh, would you want me to get you some tissues? And she said, yes. So I went out and got a full roll of paper towels. And I stood in front of her as the paper towel dispenser. And didn't it feel good, though?
Oh, it just kept rolling and rolling away. And then I was to a point where I was snorting because I was laughing so hard.
What's a day like for you?
A day like for me.
Well, and I know God's part of it because we've gotten you into some of the things.
And John, you know, and Tony, who will be here hopefully shortly. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago, and I said, you know, what I've gotten out of, and I know you just asked me what's a day like, I am going to share that God gives you what you need, not necessarily what you want. Mm-hmm. And anything that I have needed so far since December when I was, out of commission, God's answered my prayers. And I have to mention a special angel. She was supposed to be here. Her name is Linda McGuire. She called me the next day after a big rosary group from my town got word that I was not doing well, and she called me and told me that she was going to coordinate anything I needed. And I remember thinking to myself, this mom definitely has been through something because she gets it. And she's not here today. And Linda, I hope you're listening. How much, getting teary-eyed, John, you better get the roll of towels out.
Yeah, I know.
How much you mean to me and everybody from my churches. Harry, I know you're listening. I've had so many healing teams come over to my house. Getting back to what a typical day is like, every day is different. My worst thing now is my vestibular. I get very bad vestibular from dizziness to balance. Very bad. I can go into very bad tachycardia very fast. Trying to keep my head up. I wear a collar, and that helps tremendously.
In fact, this is the first time I've ever seen your neck.
I know. Can you believe it? Some neck, huh?
Oh, wow. But it's great. That you hear. We don't want any tachycardia or any vestibular activity while you're here. So you have to just behave yourself.
I will. I promise.
Okay. Scott, what's it like for you as husband? We didn't get too much out of Liz's day, but I'm going to get that from Abby and Annie, who are the other people here.
Well, as I guess the best way to describe it is being a big cheerleader and being the person just as far as making sure the ship is, you know, set at night and making sure we get up in the morning and start off with, you know, just a couple of meds to, you know, start the day for Liz to make her feel just a little bit more comfortable, because there's a lot of spasms that she experiences, a lot of discomfort. So it's, you know, it's been a great challenge for the, as Liz says, going back way back to December. It's not just since March that Liz pretty much put up her hands and said, "Listen, I'm just not doing too well." So it's been a great challenge, and yet I feel an incredible sense of comfort that the Lord's been there the whole time. I had the good opportunity last year to teach faith formation, and was teaching eighth graders. And what was it about? It was about the Advocate. It was about the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, if I'm going to stand in front of these kids and teach about the Holy Spirit, I better believe myself. So I've always had a strong faith, but I feel now that I've had a stronger faith. It's deeper. It's richer. I feel much more comfortable. My prayer life has grown. I would say that my prayer life in the past wasn't as strong. So, and really trying to be focused in my prayer, praying for specifics for, you know, Liz's health and that of my mom and the kids, just so that we stay together. And, you know, the suggestions that we've had, I think your strong suggestions as far as when we do spend time reading scriptures together, it's a very comforting time for us. So it's, you know, Liz goes through the routine. Abby and Ann can express a little more about what the day-to-day stuff is like as I'm busy working. So they leave me alone. I get to work from home a couple of days a week, so very, very fortunate in that regard. But, you know, so many of the things that have been happening for us have been really, I believe, God incidents as opposed to coincidences. And just the fact that, you know, I'm able to work from home. Abby's here. Anne's helping out so much. So we've been very fortunate.
Abby, what's it like being around this gal? Sorry.
Liz. What can I say about Liz?
Be careful what you say, too.
We have become very close mm-hmm. in just a short time, mm-hmm. nearly almost 6 months. Mm-hmm. And I have grown to respect and understand what she's going through and to actually live inside of herself on a day-to-day basis. You have to have a lot of compassion and understanding. And this is what we go through every day. We cannot predict what we're going to do from day to day because it's upon Liz how she's feeling that day. She could have a great day, which just is waking up and smiling, to Abby, I'm not feeling well, and I'm just going to take it easy today. And yes, she has an emotional, her emotional days as well. And we'll sit there and we'll cry together. And we need two boxes of tissues. But it's a wonderful thing because then it helps us to heal.
Does she pray with you?
She does. Actually,
now, I should mention that you are... Go ahead.
I am Jewish.
Okay.
But...
Have you met the Blessed Mother now?
Yes. And Hashem, God, whomever you want to call him as, he is there with us.
It's amazing, isn't it?
It is. And I do believe in God.
Yeah.
And I have a very strong faith of him. And he lives within us.
Yeah.
And if it wasn't for Liz, I wouldn't be here right now, sitting here, because I am truly blessed to have met such wonderful people. Yourself. My love, Scott, over here. Bless Anne and Liz and Maddie and Tess and Owen. They're
it's
wonderful.
The children. We the don't children. Have the children here. Maybe some other time we'll get the children on tape.
Don't forget Toby.
And Toby. My mom's name was Toby, so it was a blessing.
Okay.
The dog.
Okay. We're going to get Annie. And Annie, you're kind of like a companion and a gift from God, from what I can see. Tell us a little bit.
We kind of hang out together at different times. I drive Liz over to you, and we call it our fabulous, faith-filled, funny Fridays. We also are convinced, it's not Annie and Liz, but it's really Lucy and Ethel, because when this one gets started, the two of us sometimes just laugh until we cry, and we also cry until we laugh. So it's a great gift to be part of this family. They are they're wonderful. I love the kids. I help out in the morning and get them off to school when Scott goes into the city. And it really, they're just amazing. I hope that you get to meet them
someday.
But it just,
I bet Owen, maybe I'll meet the others.
It just is a joy, John. One of the things is I figured, well, the kids know me, so that made it fairly easy for me to come and wake them up, and Scott often gets them up earlier. But if he has to go in early, then I'll, just make sure that they have their breakfast. And they're an amazing bunch. They really are very, very independent, and they're also very good to each other.
You know what? The only reason why I wanted everybody here, and there are others we could have here, when somebody gets a serious illness, it impacts everybody.
Mm.
It impacts even the dog. It impacts everybody. And, you are at the central of the problem physically. We know that. And we know that you have some troubles each day, because I can see you slipping into Never Never Land now. Are you going away or are you still with us?
I know. You read me like a book. Now my eyes starting to close, which means my vestibular is not doing well right now. But I'm here. I'm fine.
What's the hardest part of this for you?
If I really think about it and I try not to, it would probably be, I've shared with you, John, that let's say Linda McGuire has set up a care calendar where, so many people wanted to help. The word gets out, and I didn't even know who she was. Everybody thought we were best friends. And that stopped in June. And thinking about September when the kids go back to school, it's simple things. I remember when I knew in December I was in trouble, the first thing I thought of was, oh, my gosh, what am I going to do? Because Matthew, Matthew is 13. Matthew's our special needs guy, and he's a blast. I know you know him out there. You're listening. Matthew is just unbelievable. And Tess, you know, need rides after school or rides here and there. And people don't, the things we take for granted, walking the dog. We have a large golden doodle that actually has helped me. I've been unable to walk by myself for years now. And when we got a dog, I call him my miracle dog. I actually am able to walk further than I could before. And by the way, Tony just walked in.
Hi, everybody. I thought I was sneaking quietly.
Oh, no.
It's always the 10% that don't get
the word. I know, isn't
it?
Can you believe it?
Palmer, you're going to kill me someday. Palmer, you're knocking the heck out of me.
Tony has some nerve, right, John?
That's right.
I know. But we adore him.
Oh, no. Let's not go that far. He's tolerable.
That's the best you could say about me.
Tony, just for you to be aware, we've been talking about, well, how has this problem affected the whole family? We haven't even touched on finances and the worries there, mm-hmm. and the tremendous problems that any sort of illness brings up. And we haven't really pushed God yet. We will, but we haven't really pushed the impact of God's presence in this. But I wanted to bring you up to date.
Okay, thank you. But I already know that she's such a God-fearing person that Jesus is putting her through this. And I also know that we love you very much, that you're always in our prayers. And I admire you. I really do.
I want you to be careful, though, because her husband's sitting there, and he's bigger than you.
Actually, I love her husband. Scott is the most greatest person. I've only met him once, and he left a memorable impression on me. And I'm sure he left one on you, too, Palmer.
No. Listen, we're going to move into another area, and what I really want to talk about, how has God been in this? How has God affected you? And can you offer anything for other people who are undergoing serious problems as to how God can help?
I will just share, like I did in the beginning, that I tell you, if you do not have faith, God, in your life, to me, you really don't have much at all. He's always there, like I shared. He gives you what you need, not necessarily what you want. And I.
What does that mean?
It means, you know what it means, John.
I know, but let's tell the listeners.
John would say to me each week, you know, look for the windows. And I'm one of those people that I'm always very open. I always look for things. And let's say it was something I was going through that week or the following week. But I tell you, my parents are gone. They died in 2001, and I have four brothers, and they're kind of scattered around. And if it wasn't, just God has gotten me through so much. And the people that have come into my life since I haven't been doing well is just incredible. And, you know, I'm getting teary-eyed right now.
Good.
So...
It's all right. You can be teary.
I know. Joy of tears, as Anne always says.
That's right.
Crying is the best medicine around.
Well, one of the things we tried to get you to do was to go to daily mass.
Mm-hmm.
And do you do that?
Well, my thing has always been, I'm on quite a bit of meds, and I'm very, it bothers me, you know, if I let it again, it upsets me that I can't get up early like I used to, and I can't, and that's okay. For now, as Anne would say, for now. So John brought to my attention that they have 12 o'clock mass several places.
Yeah.
And Anne was with me. And so Anne picks me up, or sometimes Abby will take me, and I go over to St. Bridget's in Westbury. And
tell them about the first time.
Oh, goodness. Okay. The first, it was Abby and I. Now, Abby, I have to share. When I... Did you hear that, Ive? When I first met Abby, you know, I was interviewing quite a bit of people. She called herself the 49-year-old
person.
Jewish grandmother. So I instantly knew I have to meet her. So anyway, we do. We have this huge connection. Somebody actually shared, asked her, we were at the pool one day, this is weeks ago, and somebody said, it was very intuitive, and said, well, who are you, Abby? Are you a nurse? She said, no. And then the girl looked at me, and she said, where did you find her, Liz? And Abby said the best comment you could ever say. She said, we found each other.
Mm-hmm.
So getting back to St. Bridget's, first time I went, we go in the back. The pew is against the wall.
I just want the listeners to know what an effort it took to get there.
To get there and to get into church,
how hard
yes.
it was for you to come out of the bed, mm-hmm. out of the house, mm-hmm. into a car, mm-hmm. and then get over there. This is no easy deal.
Yep.
And you went there because God was calling you.
Yep, he sure happened? Was. Thank God for my walker and Abby. So we went in the back of the church thinking, well, this is where the disability sits because the benches were against the wall in the back, and I couldn't understand. I said, wow, there's a lot of people sitting back here. Now, Abby's sitting way in front of me, the last pew, but I'm in the back, and I'm thinking, that's weird. There's no cushions on these seats. So there was this gentleman sitting next to me, and you could tell he was getting very annoyed at me. I could not figure out what I had done wrong. And then he whispered in my ear, finally, you just cut the communion line.
The confession line.
The confession line. And I thought to myself, confession line? What on earth would he mean by that? Because I had no idea that they sit on these benches in line. The priest does confession every day. And then there's Abby. No, I won't go into that story. Anyway. But it you had to have been there, one of those things, you had to have been there. It was very, very comical. But I remember thinking to myself, oh, my goodness, I haven't been to confession in so long. This is perfect. And, of course.
Do you see how God works?
He works. I know he works. Absolutely. You know I do.
I know.
So, again, that's how God is, you know. Instead of going the opposite way of being angry and everything else, I've gone the other direction, which I did before. You know, as I said, it took 10 years to diagnose this disorder. It's a really tough brain disorder, but, you know, as they say, when you have lemons, try to make lemonade. So that's what I'm trying to do.
How has it been for you and your children?
Yes. You know, when something happens, I call it a crisis. When something happens in a family, it affects everybody around you. And you're so right, it does affect the dog because
yeah.
it really, truly does. I always share, if you ever want to know what's going on, look at your dog. Mm-hmm. I know that sounds kind of a little ridiculous, but it's so true. My kids are doing, I think, pretty well considering everything. I've brought my children up from day one to be very independent. You know, exposed to a lot, let's say babysitters at early ages, different babysitters. So when, you know, came time for me to go out or to work, which I did, or Scott, you know, I think to this day they've never cried. They're like, bye, Mom, bye, Dad. That's helped a lot. But it impacts everybody, and a lot of people don't know that. And like John brought up the finances and everything around you. Your daily life is totally challenged. And I really, sincerely do not know what I would have done without this care calendar that Linda McGuire had set up. And as of September, I don't know what I'm going to do. But you know what? We're only in August, so I'm not going to worry about it.
And I know you as a person who likes to be in charge.
And not me.
How hard has it been for you to let go? And let God?
Well, I learned years ago, let go, let God. And I've come a long way in that area. I really have. This is before you knew me, John.
Okay.
I know. You don't believe me, but it's true. I would have to say deep down, if somebody said, what are you really feeling deep down? I'd say, I'm a mother. I'm very scared, especially when you have children that need to go places and, you know, and other areas, and you can't cook and you can't do many things. But I feel so close to God, And as I shared with John too, like more this past month, I'm starting to feel this incredible connection to our Blessed Virgin Mary. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Liz, you're apparently a woman of great, great faith, and I admire that. And I think I've admired that from the first moment I heard your name and from the first moment that I've met you. But I wonder, is your faith ever shaken? Are you ever doubtful? Are you totally convinced that nothing is impossible with God and nothing is impossible with Jesus?
Well, I will share, Tony, I am human. And there are days, but very few days, and I know, okay, Lord, you know, you're in control right now, because let me tell you, so many people see me and they see the neck collar and the walker, and they think that's all that's going on in my life. And Abby and I kind of make, a game of it sometimes. I'm like, Abby, let's see how many people stop and stare at me today in the store or whatever. Because humor, again, humor has to come into this. But I can't, the strength that I feel, it's really, I'm lost for words.
Yeah, you can't explain it.
I cannot explain it, but everything that I have needed has happened. And as John has shared with me, he gives you crumbs, and it's always at the end.
The last
minute like,
Larry.
Oh, I hate that.
He's a last minute Larry.
The last minute Larry.
When I look at you, I always see you with a smile on your face. And
that's
that brings tears to my eyes. It really does, because I love your faith.
But that's because of the surgery. They froze you.
What a meanie
you are. I
knew
it. I know. How can you stand him?
You know what? Everybody asked me that question. I don't know.
See, I'm like a fungus infection. I kind of grow on you, you know.
You've definitely grown on me, John.
But unless you have the openness to God's presence, you can't have a sense of humor.
That's right.
Because God has a sense of... I haven't told Tony this, but I was away in retreat over the weekend. And I have this relationship with God, and, you know, I feel he talks to me and everything else, right? You know what he said to me over the weekend? He said, you know, you have a gift of unity and love. I said, well, what's that? He said, that means we're stuck with you. With all of your anger, with all of your anxiety, all your fears and all your doubts. And then he went on to say, I've been giving it some thought, and I don't know which is worse, you or my cross. And I said, what? You? I'm as bad as the cross? And he said, well, no, I figured I'd say that because I'd like to see you laugh. God will laugh with you in your trouble. And I know from you that you
I do get quite a bit of comments when I'm going through something very heavy. And we're going through a lot of different things, getting back to what I was talking about before, besides me having this illness. There's a lot of other stuff that's going on, and I would say to John and Anne and Abby and my husband, I'm like, all right, am I jinxed? Is it Satan? It's not ending here. And I would just have a good cry. And Abby would always, the great thing about Abby is she just holds my hand and rubs my back and said, sweetie, let it out. Not, oh, please don't cry. Oh, please don't do this. And getting back to the humor part, I get that a lot. I can't believe you're laughing. And I'm like, they don't get it. They're not getting it.
I'm not
laughing at it. I'm laughing with it.
I have a very famous statement. You know, if you can keep your mind while everyone else around you is losing it, there's something wrong with you. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Tony. Come on, Tony.
I see that face.
Well, I'm just so impressed with you. I'm impressed with the people around you. I'm impressed with Scott, his support. It like brings tears to my eyes when I see you surrounded with all these loving people. And I met Scott first time. I remember the date on July 25th, and I was impressed. I really was. So
I wonder what each of you would say to listeners who may be beset with a severe problem such as this. What kind of can you give them in a quickie line that may help them? Go ahead, Scott.
I guess, John, as far as just being open to listen to God's word, to listen to the Spirit. I know we were a couple of weeks into our after the surgery, and I was struggling with sleep. I was pretty stressed out, and I was really trying to find a niche just to go sleep someplace late at night. And I went down into our basement. Owen was still at college, and I woke up I felt someone speaking to me at about 5 a.m. And it was, Scott, purify. It's time to purify. And mm-hmm. I just really felt it was the Holy Spirit who was just saying, come on, let's go. It's time. You've had your run of it. You've had a lot of fun. And now it's a different part of the game. Now mm-hmm. it's time to stand up as a man. And Liz will attest that, you know, I am not a saint. The different times when...
Why is she crossing her
yeah,
eyes?
Yeah, exactly. A few times over the last couple of months where we've had challenging moments where I've lost it.
Sure.
But a lot of times where I feel I can carry just my part, my cross, which is just, you know, being faithful, doing what I've got to do, and do it with cheer in my heart. As, you know, sometimes, you know, you wake up and you just feel like, wow, I just... You know, God, if you could just relieve this yoke from around my neck, or if you could lessen the load. But then other times I feel incredibly comfortable. I feel the great sense of, you know what, you're right where you're supposed to be. This is how it's supposed to play out. And I admire my wife, Liz, so very much. You know, she needs to be reminded at times about, you know what, okay, don't take yourself so seriously. But she does a great job every single day. With Abby's incredible sense of humor, with her positive attitude, Anne helping out, coming over 6:15 in the morning to help out, and just I hand off, you know, the like a track team, you know, it's like, okay, Anne, I got to run for the train, and we're just very, very fortunate. So I look to the people out there and just say, you know, listen, just if you can listen.
Abby, you've seen a lot of people with disabilities because that's the kind of work that you have. What would you tell them?
My brother has passed away nearly 3 years, and he had Parkinson's.
Mm-hmm.
So I do know a lot about the disabilities that people and the challenges. And the one thing that I have always believed in, which my brother reminded me, is you have to believe, and you just have to keep moving forward.
That's it.
That's all it. He would repeat. You have to get up every day and move forward because it's a new day. And this is how Liz lives her life. She gets up and she moves. And it may take time, but she does.
And Annie, what about your final words, if you want, for the people?
I think one of the things in dealing with this wonderful group of people, I think of my own background, and I come back to the divine mercy, Jesus, I trust in you. Mm. But I come back to the mercy of God and Jesus, I trust in you. Okay. And for that, I'm so thankful to have those words.
Yeah.
Because it's simple.
Absolutely. Palmer, can I say a word?
No.
You know, I have to tell you, the thought that came to me as you were talking, Annie, Scott, as you were talking, Abby, as you were talking, these people are amazing. They are so, they're bringing tears to my eyes. But I got the distinct impression, it's no accident that you guys are here for Liz. Jesus put you guys here. Jesus put you guys here for a job. And what a job you guys are doing. God bless you, really.
You know, Tony, I can hear the music. It's time for Saints of the Day. Who's going to be our saint today?
This is my favorite part of the program, Palmer. And this was a very difficult decision. This week was full. Every day we had a different saint. And it was so hard. And I said, well, maybe I'll use St. Dominic. Or maybe I'll try Edith Stern, a Jewish saint. Or maybe, and I picked that one out for Abby, by the way. Or maybe I'll try St. Lawrence. Or maybe I'll try St. Clair, who's also very impressive. Or maybe I'll try St. Jane Francis. But then I realized there's going to be a woman on the show that I don't know how to pay honor and tribute to, because she's so deserving of so much honor and tribute. And then it came to me, hey, St. Elizabeth. Why St. Elizabeth? She was such a simple lady, but she had piety. She's filled with piety and filled with faith, as our guest Liz has, faith of God. And then, you know what, Palmer, it dawned on me. Sunday's reading, the gospel, has to do with faith. But this woman wanted Jesus to cure her daughter. And he did, because she had the faith. So St. Elizabeth was a faithful wife, coming on in age, past the age of Palmer or myself, by the way, and she was barren. And she knew that by being barren, she was being whispered about in the town. And so she prayed constantly. Oh, why can't I have a child? Why can't I have a child? Why can't I have a child? And then suddenly, an angel appeared to her husband, Zachariah, and said, Elizabeth is going to have a child. And Zachariah says, how could that be? And he doubted a little bit. And so the angel said, because of your doubt, you will not be able to talk. And so he became mute. And so Elizabeth became pregnant at a very, 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 very old age. And so she was so happy and so dedicated and knew that her faith gave her what she wanted most in life. And what happened? You know, Elizabeth was related distantly to the Blessed Mother. And so the Blessed Mother, when she found out that she was going to have a baby, came to visit Elizabeth. And Elizabeth said immediately, the baby in my womb has jumped upon your appearance for the fruit of your womb. And why am I honored that you are here? And she flatly said that she came to visit and to spend a little time with her and to help her in her pregnancy. And so she did. And then when the time came when a child was born, and I guess you know who that child was, right, Dr. Palmer?
I think so.
Okay, John the Baptist. And when it came time to name John the Baptist, they asked, what will the name be? And Elizabeth said, John, because that's what she was told by the angel. And they said, oh no, it's got to be Zachariah. Not John, it's got to be named after the father. And so they said to the father, what is the name going to be? And he took a pen and a pad and wrote the name, John. And so they said, that's what the name will be, John, because that's what God wanted. And immediately Zachariah started speaking, and his tongue got loosened. And thus, John the Baptist was united with his mother Elizabeth, and Elizabeth remained faithful and loyal and loving to God. And so that's my little story about, there's not much to learn about Elizabeth except that Elizabeth reminds me so much of you, Liz, and I chose Elizabeth in honor of you because your faith, your love, your piety is bearing and will bear the fruits that you deserve. I love you.
I love you too, Tony. Thank you.
And I want you to know, John and I love you very much, and we pray for you constantly. And you know, I don't know if I could say this right, but you are our poster child. And we pay tribute to you. If you watch our show, you're mentioned every show. And Liz is our poster child, right, Dr. Palmer?
I wouldn't call her a poster child, but yes, a poster woman, if you want. I mean, let's not push.
No, a child, a child.
I've only missed two shows.
Yes,
yes.
But you know why? You know why I say you're a child? Because you have a childlike innocence in you. You really do. You have that childlike love, and that childlike smile, and that childlike innocence, and. Saint Elizabeth is my tribute in this a humble, maybe not such a good report way, but it's my tribute to you.
Oh, my gosh.
Amen.
I can't. Thank you so much.
Tony, I have a song that I really think sets the tone for the second half of our show. It's by John Michael Talbot, and the song is Breathe, Just Breathe. And I think if we listen to it, we'll see how the Holy Spirit helps people breathe their way through a severe problem.
That's a wonderful song, John.
Breathe in the Spirit of God. With each breath you take, breathe out all that's not of God. Breathe out your pain. Breathe in the Spirit of Christ, the life of Jesus. Breathe out all that's not like Him. Breathe out your sin. Healing. go of all your doubts. Breathe out and believe. Breathe in the being of God. Let go.
And now it's time for us to stop as part of the show and pray for the healing of everybody that we know, all the people that have sent in their petitions. Why don't we just hold hands around the table? And in particular, Lord, we put Liz in our prayers today. What courage, determination it took for her to be here, to come. And the end of the day, when for her, this is nap time, when she has to get off her neck and just avoid vestibular activity and also tachycardia. And Jesus, I want to make a statement loud and clear. You promised that you would take care of that tachycardia and you would take care of that vestibular activity. So in this time of quiet prayer, Lord, we ask that, I hate to say it this way, you live up to your word. Because you made a promise and you don't speak idly, Lord. And we pray for Liz, Scott, Abby, Annie, the children who have been afflicted by a terrible, terrible, terrible illness. And we thank you especially for giving Liz the gift of a joyful spirit, so that she could manage each day with all the trials that she's been through. She says she needs people with a sense of humor to help her, but she has a wonderful sense of humor as well. And we thank you, Lord, for her spirit and for carrying her this far. You know, you've carried her this far in the journey, through years of trouble and through major surgery. Lord, carry her the rest of the way. We want Liz and her family and her friends to be a walking witness to the power of your healing love. So now, Lord, we just pray quietly in any way that we can, just to ask you to touch Liz, touch her family, touch any listener whose family is beset with a disabling illness. We thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jennifer.
Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
And Tony, we know we get answers. When we pray, we've had answers. We've had people healed and of so many things. But there's a difference between a healing and a miracle. Healing is one day at a time, little tiny steps, and a miracle is all at once. But we want both. We want a healing and a miracle to take place here.
And if it takes a miracle for a healing, so be it, Jesus. So be it. You spent your ministry, your 3 years, healing people. Just walking around and healing them. And we're asking that you heal. You heal Liz. You heal all our petitions. And you see to it that they are taken care of. And so we ask this in the name of your Father. You're such a wonderful, 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 wonderful Lord.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and
to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be.
World without end. Amen.
And we're going to let things run for just a little bit, because Quiet Liz requested a quiet song that we would end our show with. So I think we'll do a little quiet song. You settle down and be still and quiet now.
You got to put your arms up, right?
Right, put your arms up.
Everybody get their arms up.
Come on, Liz.
Are you going to sing, Palmer?
No.
Good.
Alive, people. Come to life.
Palmer, get off the table.
Here we go, folks.
When you fall.